الله ورسوله قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وفي سورة النساء قال الله تعالى: يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. إن أصدق الكلام كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers and sisters and sisters in Islam, I didn't have to convey the problem today because they announced it today for some reason. So I'll try to make the best out of this time, inshallah, to share some of my thoughts and topics. So one of the interesting topics that Muslims will need to focus on is guidance and examples of role models. But in today's topic, I'll try to relay one of the role models from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad to follow the footsteps of other prophets. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ مُهْتَدٍ. And those sent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as guidance, therefore follow their footsteps. So today we're going to talk about one of the prophets in Islam, in the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that his name was mentioned in the Quran more than 16 times, but yet nobody has talked about him. It's not Noah, it's not Jesus, it's not Moses, not Ibrahim, but Prophet Dawood, alayhi salam. We hear his name in the Quran so many times, but we never really reflected on his footsteps or what he did for the civilization that he was in. So one of the interesting stories I'll begin with is that I'll notice that one of the companions came to Rasulullah and he convinced him. He said, I've heard one of the youth, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he was a young youth that he was young in Islam. He wanted to compete and he wanted to be pious. So his choice was an effort. I'm going to fast every day. I'll be fasting every day because this is how to attain piety. So the word that was told Abdullah, and he says, oh Abdullah, I've heard that you've been telling the other boys that they'll be fasting, basically, in Arabic we call it Siyam Jah. You basically fast forever. He said, yes, oh Prophet of Allah, I did say that. He says, don't do that. If you must fast and you have that ability to do so, try to fast 3 days a month. He says, no, Rasulullah, I can do more than this. I can do probably every day. He said, no. How about this? Fast 10 days a month. He said, no, Prophet of Allah. I'd like to do this every other day. He said, no. If you must fast and you have the ability, then you fast one day, you break the fast one day, and then you fast again. So you have a day in between the fast. And that's the best fasting. That you got Siyam Dawood. This was the Siyam of Dawood, or his method. So far, one regard that he was examining, fasting. Now, Ramadan is on the way, and I think we all know the benefits and the piety and the discipline that fasting instills in the Muslim souls. So we're not going to go into that topic, so that's one aspect of it. Something interesting. The story of Dawood in Islam is actually a young boy that grew up in the hands of one of the prophets at the time of era. So he came from the Bani Israel. So Moses, he was basically the prophet at the time. But when he died, he had a successor. He's the one who took the torch from Musa, and he carried basically guiding Bani Israel. Yushakinun in English, I think, is Joshua, the translation for that. After that few hundred years or so, it was the era of Dawood alayhi salam. And at the time, the Quran does not mention the prophet name, but it says, but one of the prophets of the time He was actually the mentor of God. So one of the kings of the time, of Bani Israel, they had a fight with the Jabagara, basically, one of the civilizations that were oppressing Bani Israel and fighting with them. So there was a fight that needed to take place between Bani Israel and this nation to take over the Holy Land and so forth. The emphasis here on that is done. So from Islamic perspective, is that this prophet raised basically and took care spiritually the soul of Dawud alayhi salam. There was a fight between the Muslims, the believers, Bani Israel, and the non-believers. The Spartans of Dawud came from that era. The young boy that was raised and he had the courage basically to join the army. He was a skinny little boy. But he had a lot of courage. He joined the army. So they cut the Christian away and had to join, but he insisted to be part of this army. So when it came to fighting, the king, the commander of the army at the time, he made an introduction. He said, I want to basically be somebody that can step up and fight and have a duel with the opposing leadership. Nobody stepped forward basically to fight. This little boy came from the back of the ranks and said, me, I can do it. The commander, whoever came in, looked at him and was like, he's not equipped to do this. So three times he repeated this call, nobody stepped forward. So he said, okay, if that's the case, then you shall take over. He had a slingshot, so he, by the mercy of Allah, kind of died, and he actually struck the commander of the opposing party and he killed him. And that's the Spartan that took over for Dawud. He became closer to the king, and later on he became the king. Now something interesting now. From Islamic perspective, the way we look at Dawud is as a what? As a king? Also as a prophet. So he has two things. The leadership of the king, an official king, and he was also a prophet. From Jadid, a Christian base, they believe as Dawud or David as a king. Not a prophet. So this is what we differ with the other faith, Holy Ghost, or the Christian and Jews. We believe that he was a prophet and a king, versus the Christian and Jews that believe that he was just a king. So that was actually, despite he had all the, you know, a huge kingdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him specific talents too. What is it? He had a beautiful voice. He had a talent. And he used his beautiful voice basically to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a Quran says, yes, you guys are only ma'am of a prayer. But he used to basically make his call for prayer. He had an influence of everything surrounding him. Even birds, he used to love his songs and his way of worship, and they used to chirp with him. And he had that impact. And this is something we Muslims need, that, you know, we all have talents, we have side talents. Whether it's a beautiful voice, whether it's a physical ability to do certain things, we should always develop. So he developed this skill set, and he utilized it, you know, for his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something another interesting aspect about him, as a leader, a king, and as a father, he raised who? Sulaiman alayhi salam, another prophet and king. While he was ruling, despite having this massive kingdom and ability to rule and so forth, he was not a dictator. He used actually to have a council, and he used to listen to other opinions. But subhanAllah, his little kid Sulaiman, even though he was young, but he had that ability to convey his opinion to his father. To say, oh father, this judgment that you did or said was right. And in some cases he said, oh father, maybe you did it this way, it would have been better. Thoughts and learning from here. As a parent, you should give your kids and children the ability to express themselves. And you should train them to get their opinions. That helps them mentally. It helps you to get a different opinion, a peer review. And it helps them actually grow up to be strong people in society. So that was another aspect of his life, which the Quran talks about. أن يعمل سابغات وقدر في السابق. He was an inventor. وعلمنا له الحديد. And we made iron so easy in his hands. Meaning that he can mold iron. He was an inventor as well. So, prophet, a king, he had a great talent, and yet he also had some scientific aspect about his knowledge. He was an inventor. He invented basically protective shield for his army. An armory basically to protect the soldier. Now, in the modern science and army, they care about the vests, making sure it's very light, very lean. It does not inhibit the soldier from doing their job. At the same time, it gives protection to the soldier. So he invented shields. Why? Because he was the commander, he was the king. And he used to set his army to fight in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as protecting his nation. So he came out with, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him this gift, the ability to shave iron and make it, as a protective shield to, help his life. So an invention. And the aspect of fatherhood, and we will touch up in a second khutbah, inshaAllah. أَقُولُ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ مَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ أَنْ يُؤْلَى لَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَلَوْ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. الحمد لله فاطر السماء وخالقها من غير عمل. The other aspect of Sayyidina Dawood is that he also excelled in worship. And there's some ahadith that he was very precise and organized in carrying on his worships. During the day, he maintains the state of affairs. He deals with people, he judges, takes responsibility. He partitions off his time in the evening to be the father. He takes the other portion of his time late at night to pray. And we talked earlier also about his fasting, right? So, he's busy, king, leader, talent, scientist, and also a good faithful person that he managed to do all these things. I mean, subhanAllah, if you reflect in our lives today, how many of us are hesitant there? I don't think anybody, but we have responsibilities, maybe some managers and so forth. But how many of us really get to have tied all these things together? Today, in our society, how many Muslims you can say, oh, so-and-so has an excellent manner. He's very good with his faith. He's very good at his job. By the way, he has an excellent talent in so-and-so. And he is a contributor to society. So this is something that Muslims should think out of the box. Just because we're Muslims, it doesn't make us better than anyone. We have to be a very constructive people and engage in society. And if we have talents, we shall increase and have our talents. If you're a student, you have a PhD, you should excel, seek other fields as well. So in terms of, I'm going to get started, sorry, I know the time is not helping me, nor I spent a lot of time preparing for the khutbah, but inshallah, the message is going to get there. The aspect, there was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also visited Dawood alayhi salam. One time, he was in his secluded area, in his mihrab. In his temple, praying at his house, he was a king, he had fortresses, he had guards, nobody could enter his place. So he was in his me time, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of a sudden, two people appeared to him. So imagine this, you're in a very secluded area, that nobody can get in into your place. All of a sudden two men just pop up in front of you. So he was staggered by him, and he was shocked. And then right away they start questioning him. One guy, as a leader, they're asking him to judge one another. This is not out of the story, but it's the prophet and the gentleman that came out of it. So the story was, one of them said, I have 99 sheaves. My brother has 99 sheep, I have one sheep. And he took over the sheep and he impressed me, now he's going to get back my sheep. By the way, he was, upset and he did it on his face. He said, the other guy is wrong, he oppressed you. And then these two men just all of a sudden disappeared. then he realized that this was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his Prophet of Ba'ath in judgment. And then he knew he did something wrong with his judgment, so he trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he asked for forgiveness. Lessons to be learned. When people are in a shock mode or scared, they're not going to think in a very clear state of mind. Always, before you give a judgment or ruling in any matter, take your time, take a step back. Don't be pressured to give a decision without thinking about all aspects of things. That's number one. Okay? Don't give a decision or edict or make any commitment if you're pressured or you didn't have that right state of mind. Two, don't rush to judgment without having all aspects of information and details. Allah wanted to teach Dawud alayhi salam before you give a judgment, you have to listen to both sides. Alright? Then you can form your opinion and give your rulings. So, this is a lesson we all Muslims can relate to and can actually learn from. The Sahaba companions say, every time that Dawud alayhi salam is to be mentioned in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make sure and make the point stopping at his name and mentioning him and praising him. Alright? Another something interesting about Dawud, despite he had this massive and lavish kingdom, he had a very humble life in terms of food. He used to fast, every other day and so forth, and his food was very humble. And he did not use to waste. His prayers were impeccable. He made sure that he goes and he prays, and again, that talent that Allah has given him, a beautiful voice that had an impact on everything surrounding him. And then you're going to jump into the fatherhood and the way he used to listen to Sulaiman. There are many stories about him and Sulaiman alayhi salam in terms of ruling and how wise was Sulaiman alayhi salam in helping his dad. But the time will not be in our house. So the lessons for today's khutbah, in short, as Muslims, we should aspire to have this matters. Obviously, in dealing with people, maintaining our skill sets, fostering and improving our hobbies, our things that we can help us in other society as well, and being organized as well in our worship. We go to work, we always partition our time to go to work, and we're busy with work, rightfully so, and needed as well. But at the same time, we should make sure that we be organized and we do our due diligence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We prescribe that time to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing is, we should also take advantage of being Muslims in the workforce and we express ourselves to other people in some way or another. That you Muslim, if you pray, let people know that you really pray as a practicing Muslim. You don't have to impose it on anybody, just do. You can suggest, I've taken a break to go to pray or so and so. That could be actually a form of da'wah to Islam as well. The key thing is that in faith is to convey this goodness and save as many people as you could. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the right path. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal and give speedy recovery for our sick, Muslims and non-Muslims. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease the situation of all Muslims in Syria, in Pakistan, in Palestine, in Libya, in Tunisia, in Yemen, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq, and everywhere else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us here in this country, to give us the guidance, to give us the perseverance, to help and guide our offspring. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give mercy to our parents and to forgive their sins. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us to paradise and to forbid us from hellfire. Allahumma taqabbal minna salatana wa ruku'ana wa sujudana wa aqim bis-salihati a'malina. Allahumma ihdina min 'indik wa atib 'alayna min fadlik wa ansur 'alayna min rahmatik wa anzil 'alayna min barakatik. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل الحاج والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العلي العظيم يذكركم اشكروه على نعمه يزدكم وذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.